We're continuing on in our love, our world, with the 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. And just want us to read together these words that just come up on screen from some of the early verses. If you just want to flick that up, thanks. Let's just read this together, okay? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Let's read it again, eh? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Today we're just thinking about this idea. As we've been in loving our world with patience, with kindness, with humility, today we're thinking of a new thought, which is loving our world always. And what does that mean? But it's interesting that these few verses begin with love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. I really like that balance, and there's a bit of rhythm there where when we think about love, there is a very soft side to love. There really is. Kindness, compassion, gentleness, forgiveness, mercy. And we so need that in our lives, you know, in a bit of a sometimes what can feel like, in whether in business or in relationships, it can be a bit cutthroat. It can be a bit around trying to always level things up. Well, I'll give you this, you give me that, and it's kind of like there's a hardness sometimes to our lives. And it's great that we've been able to take time to consider the love of God and our love for one another, because there's a real need for us to be people who are softened. It's funny, like for my generation, and I don't know what it's like for our kids looking back, maybe they'll tell the same story, but for my generation, quite a lot of us, as we grew up in the church and in families who were followers of Jesus, we had parents who, when we were young, were quite hard and tough. And then as they aged, we watched them soften to the grace of God. And that wasn't just an age generational thing, that was something going on in New Zealand. And we saw a softening and an awareness of God's love and what it meant. And we, quite a few of us, even in this audience, we saw our mums and our dads soften in latter years. And we learnt so much from that. And hopefully each generation softens a bit earlier, you know. And yet, also, love has a tough side to it. It has what I'd call a strong side to it, because love is also about things like justice. It's like this, that love always wants to wrap its arms around us, but love also wants to defend us, doesn't it? Like, you think of yourself as a parent, you know? So it might be your kid, or it might be the neighbor's kid, and you see somebody hurting, and out of love, you want to go and embrace them. But then what about if somebody's coming at your kid? Then love is strong, isn't it? It wants to defend. And so there's this sense in which I opened this passage up this week, and I thought, isn't it great that love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth? Both of those things. I'm so glad that God's love does not delight in evil, does not delight when people cause others pain and abuse, does not delight in injustice. I'm so glad that God isn't just this whimsical, soft, candy floss kind of loving God who doesn't just sit back and do nothing, but He actually he enters into that, and He is just. And He is holy, and He is right. But I also love that He rejoices with the truth. And so today, as we think about more of the loving always, I didn't want us to lose that little sentence that sits between what we've been looking at and where we're going. Because even in what we're going to look at today, about God loving us always and our need to love our world always, it doesn't always look the same. Sometimes it's going to look what I'd call like soft, and sometimes it's going to look strong, and sometimes it's going to be both at the same time. And sometimes the circumstance is going to be one to celebrate, and sometimes the circumstance is going to be one to grieve. You know, like when my life, when in my life there's failure and there's brokenness, and even in my life, even if there's evil in my life, like sin in my life, there's not suddenly an absence of the love of God in my life, but love might be God grieving over me right now. It's still love. So those are some of the things we're going to consider. And I love this ending of, though, where we're going to be today. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Do you get that there's a rhythm to that? And think about this, okay? This has been our, like, last 3 weeks. If patience is an attitude of love, and kindness is love in action, and the posture of love is humility, then what is the rhythm of love? And I would say the rhythm of love, it's like a heartbeat. You know, like the heart, ba-doom, ba-doom, ba-doom. You know what that's like? When did you last, like, feel your heartbeat? Me, this morning. I was lying. I woke up this morning. Sun was just sort of starting to cause a bit of a shadow over the Kaimais in the distance, because we just have this open view. It's real cool. And then it was the weirdest thing. I had this noise in my ear. Like, I don't know whether you wake up to a weird noise, and the noise was this going, doom, doom, doom. And I was like, what the heck is that? And I'm thinking, is it a tap? Is something wrong with our plumbing? And you know what I realized it was? My arm was up like this, and somehow what was coming through my body to my ear was my heart. It was my pulse. But it's got a rhythm to it. It's just going. Think about that, this word. Always. Always. Always protects. Ba-dum. Always trusts. Ba-dum. Always hopes. Ba-dum. Always perseveres. Ba-dum. God loves again and again and again and again. And love protects and trusts and hopes and perseveres again and again and again. There is a rhythm to love. If love's posture is humble, you know, humble like we looked at last week. If it's kindness and action, okay? If it's got this patient attitude, like what's its rhythm? I want to tell you, it sort of sounds obvious, but its rhythm is constant. Its rhythm is always. Its rhythm is again and again and again. And I love this word here, and I've heard of this before, but never really looked at it as much as today. But if we think of love, in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, the language it was written in is called Hebrews, and then in the New Testament, the language is Greek. Well, the Old Testament word for love is this word here, hesed. It's probably said with a ch in it, like they are, but I don't know how that's said, but just hesed. So what's the word? Hesed, okay? It's a word for love, and it's really interesting because it fits this idea of what I'd call the rhythm of love, the constant of love, the heartbeat of love, always, always, again, again. It's a strong word, and people have struggled to translate this Hebrew word into English. So over time, they've tried to translate this word in different ways. One is that it's been translated steadfast love. Some say it's the idea of faithful. Some have translated it as loving kindness. There's like a real practical side to it. It's a love that does something. But it's constantly used, this love, and it's used of God's love. And one of the places that we find it repeated often is in the Psalms, in the songs of Israel. They would speak about the love of God, the hesed of God. And they would do this. They would go, hesed, love, and they would of God's love, they would say, love endures forever. And they would say, God's love endures forever. It's in the psalm here, Psalm 136. And it says this, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And it's interesting that in this particular song, every sentence in the song has the same rhythm, the rhythm of love. And the way it would work is that the psalm would be sung or said, and that the people would join in. So we're going to do that right now, okay? So a bit of participation here. So I'm going to read to you a line from the song, and then when I pause, you're going to declare back, His love endures forever. So you're going to say, that's right. So here we go. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone does great wonders. Who by His understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights. The sun to govern the day. The moon and the stars to govern the night. It's interesting, as the song goes on, it doesn't just talk about His creation like we've just declared, but it also speaks about Israel being in Egypt as slaves and about God delivering them and their celebration, that in their deliverance from their slavery, they were able to keep saying with each refrain, His love endures forever. There's a constant to His love. And then it's interesting, it talks about some of their struggles and their hardships. It wasn't just like, wow, He created the universe, it's so cool. And He delivered us from Egypt, it's so great. His love endures forever. But if His love endures forever, the psalm also acknowledges that when times were tough, when they felt deep in darkness and lost, that His love endured forever. I love that language because it reminds me of the 1 Corinthians 13. You know, rejoices with truth, always perseveres, love never fails. It's the same language, isn't it? His love endures forever. There's this thought around these words here, like endures forever. And there's a couple of words that go with that. So here's some more Hebrew for you. Now, when I write it up here, I'm writing it how it sounds, okay? Because I don't know how to write in Hebrew. So it goes like this. It goes, hesed. And then what sounds like probably ki. And I don't know how you say this, but we're just going to say alom, okay? So hesed ki alom. Love endures forever. And what I love about these two words here that they've added to the love, It's not as if they're three separate words. It's really what they've done is they've taken this idea of God's constant love for us, and then they've added like these superlatives to try and describe what hesed really is. And it's saying this. It's saying that this hesed love is continually present. Way back in history, it talks about like into antiquities. And then it's also about His love will be present way into the future. And His love will be present right now. It's kind of like talking about the length of His love, that there's this constant eternal presence of His love. But in saying that, it's also acknowledging that the presence is now. And we're going to look more at that as we look at the New Testament word. So think about God's love. God's love is this constant love that has been present for time past to time future, but that in of itself means that His love is present now. His love endures forever. There's another guy who writes in the Old Testament who I think helps us to understand this idea. And if you think about Psalm 136, you know, great creation, rescue from Egypt, but then in some of their dark times, he was a guy that understood the dark times. His name's Jeremiah. He's like the prophet who cries a lot. And he's got a lot to cry about. In fact, you know, prophets would have like a book, you know. So the prophet Isaiah has his book. Prophet Jeremiah, he has his book that's about him and what he said, the prophecies he brought to Israel and a bit of his story. He has a second book. His second book is called Crying. It's called Lamentations. It's a depressing book. So you read Jeremiah's story and then you go, Jeremiah goes, by the way, I wrote a song about that. And it's the blues, you know, it's a really, really sad song. And so Jeremiah, as he was a spokesperson for God to Israel, he had a horrible life. He really did. Was God with him? Yes, he was. Was God using him? Yes, he was. But he was mistreated. He had to do some crazy things for God. And he had a horrible life. But I love what he writes in the middle of his crying song. Lamentations 3:19, he says this, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them. Then my soul is downcast within me. Do you get that? It's like, it's just like, it's awful. It's good poetry, but it's awful, isn't it? My affliction, my wandering, like he's lost. The bitterness and the gall, it's like everything, every taste to him is bitter and foul. I remember then my soul, the very deep part of me is just downcast and I can't lift myself up. Verse 21, yet this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. Here's something that he keeps bringing to the forefront of his mind. He keeps remembering because this is a thing that when he is low and life just seems to have no way out, this is what he remembers. And you know what? Sometimes we hit low. Our soul, our very being just is so down and we can't pull it up. We need a thought at that time. We need something strong at that time, a truth that we can hold on to and hope in. And this is what it is. I love it. Verse 22. Because of the Lord's great hesed, great love, we are not consumed. He's saying, I'm not consumed by all this, even though I feel like I am. I'm actually not because of the Lord's great love. For his compassions never fail. Sounds like 1 Corinthians 13 again. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I will say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. But back to verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, great is your faithfulness. This was the reality that Jeremiah held on to in his lowest times. It's what he hoped in. I was reading this commentary on that this week by a guy called John Bloom from Desiring God Ministry. And he says this about this idea that God's love, his hesed, is new every morning. And he's talking about the fact that new every morning doesn't just mean like, oh wow, it's just constant, like the day is constant. He says it's specific. And this is what he says. Every single moment is new. Every moment is a completely unique creation by God the Father through God the Son, who is upholding the universe at that moment by the word of his power. Never is a moment neglected. Never is a moment repeated. Every moment God makes, he decides. Every moment God makes, he decides to be utterly faithful to his character and his purpose. Every new moment, God commits to fulfill what he says he will do. Every moment. It's like this. Every day and every moment, God chooses to love. Every day, every moment, God chooses to love you. It's like ba-dum, ba-dum, again and again. Today, I love you. I love you today. I love you again and again and again. God's love is new every morning. Now, what I find really cool here, sorry, I found some cool things this week, is that when I go to 1 Corinthians and I find this idea of love is always, is the word always is this word called pass. And it has two ideas. And I like food, so this is a really cool idea that I had about this. So, you know there's a saying that says that you can't have your cake and eat it too. You know that one? Yeah. You know it? Do you know what it means? You do know what it means? Okay, I'm glad you do, because I wasn't sure what it meant. So,
Here's a piece of cake, all right? Now, have your cake. You can't have your cake and eat it too. So you got your cake there, right? Originally it was, the saying was, you can't keep your cake and eat it too. And the original saying before that was, you can't eat your cake and keep it too, which makes more sense. So in other words, you can't go, take that piece, eat it, go take the next piece, eat it, go take the next piece, it's all gone. You can't keep it because you ate it. Okay? That's what it means. So for those, I didn't know what it meant. I just thought it was a saying that meant you can't have two things. Well, it kind of is, but I didn't really know what it meant. So you can't have your cake and eat it. You've got to choose one or the other, right? So back to this word. Always, love always. And think back to Hesed. Love endures forever. A constant past, present, future, but don't forget present right now. Now, love always, two things. Again, always means two things. It means all. But it also means peace or a part. So if I think about my cake, if love is always, do you know what love is? Love is the whole cake. God loves you. Boom. God loves the world. Boom. God is love. Boom. It's the whole cake. But there are pieces to the cake that right now, where you sit, whatever's going through your head right now, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, that's a piece. That's a part. And God's love is with you in that. It's really specific. It's saying, when it says always, it's going like, it's always protects. Cool. Does God always protect? Yeah. Oh, right now, doesn't feel like it. But it's right now. It's like, there's a love that God has for us that is all, and His love for us is very specific in the circumstance that we find ourselves in, the place that we find ourselves right now. And here's what's cool. You can have your cake and eat it too. You can. Because both are true in our lives. Always love. Always. Here's what I think of when I think of that. And I think of like new every morning. You know, the sun comes up. You know the sun's always there, eh? We know that. The sun's a constant. Our survival on the planet and planet Earth's survival is dependent on the sun as we revolve around it. But as we revolve around it, and it's kind of like the orbit, I guess the piece of it that we get to encounter is that we feel like it goes around us, don't we? So I watched it rise this morning just above Te Aroha. Saw it come on up. A new day. God's love is new every day. Just like the sun rising up. Funny thing is, the sun was always there, at the center, but I get to experience a piece of it as it rises, and I love it today that it's able to be seen and it's creating warmth, and it's just beautiful, isn't it? Like the day, the sun, the great constant of life, would shout out concerning God's love. As far as all goes, it would say, here always. God's love is always for you. Love you always. Loved you since before the creation of the world. Loved you before your first breath. Loved you in your sin. Loved you when my son Jesus hung on the cross for your sin and for you. Loved you when you first believed in him, and will love you on into eternity. For like the sun rises each day, I love you each day and always. But also the piece, the part, the every single piece. His love would say, and I love you here right now, in this moment, and I'm with you right now, in this moment. And that means I'm with you in all your stuff. I'm grieved by the evil that seeks to harm you right now, and I'm overjoyed by the truth that can set you free to live and to love. I am for you, loving always, of course, but right now, yes, loving you right now in this unique and newest moment too. I think of two sentences we have in the Bible that speak about this love for us, I guess, and we kind of think of the all part first. One is Matthew 28, when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and really it's an ongoing message to all who will follow him. Verse 28 and verse 18, then Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus is telling his followers then and followers to come that he will always be with us. Romans 8 says this, Paul writes, verse 37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, in other words, nothing, nothing can, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So these two like famous sentences about Jesus' presence with us and his love for us are telling us that Jesus is with us always and that nothing can separate us from his love. Now, when I think of this word pass and I think of the first part of it, which is this idea of all, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It's like, of course, because God is love and Jesus is love and he promised it, so he'll keep it. And if he says he'll be with us always, he's here with us, church. And if he says nothing can separate us from his love, we know that no matter what happens, he still loves us, right? Yeah, I guess so. But what about the peace of that? What about the always? What way will he love us? What part will that play? What's the piece of the cake? Because this is what I think is that most of the time I get the cake. I get it. But I'm not pulling a piece out of it to actually experience and live it. What about right now in this moment? If Jesus says, I am with you always, is he with you in this moment? And if nothing can separate you from his love, does that mean his love is as full and complete and available to you in this moment as in any? Are Jesus and you inseparable? Now, you might be okay right now because you've sort of had to get up, get it all together, get here, put your game face on, pull it together, and this might be for you one of the safer moments of the week. For some of you, it might not be. You might be freaking out here. I don't know. But my guess is that there's moments in our day, in our lives, in our week that are less guarded. What if my now, maybe like for Jeremiah, is dark and horrible and a day and a moment to be hidden? What if I'm in the moment that I'm totally losing my cool yelling at my kid? What if I'm taking pleasure in an indulgent that is not mine to have? What if I'm deep in thought, contriving a plan to advance my own well-being at the expense of another? Man, that can happen in your workplace real easy. Can happen in your home real easy. What if I'm telling a story that makes me look really good while destroying the reputation of another? You know the kind of stuff, don't you? What if I'm, you know it, like we live it. In that space, am I loved in that moment? Is Jesus with me in that moment? When that's going on, is Jesus and me inseparable in that moment? Is Jesus loving me always? What do you think? Yes. Jeremiah would go, yeah, that's my hope. That's what I'm counting on. because his love endures forever. And I'm going to take the whole cake and I'm going to eat it too. We need the peace. We need that. It's not just that. In your life, you suddenly find yourself and you're not even sure why, but you just are so generous to somebody and you gift them something and you give it to them. Or you speak those encouraging words that build somebody up. Or you decide to put something aside that you really want, but you know is not good for you right now. And you know what? In that moment, is Jesus with you and present and loving you? Yeah, he is. He's delighting in the truth. Rejoicing in it, just as he does not delight in the evil. But notice, his love is not absent in either, but very present. We're meant to be learning about us loving our world. And you go, that's all about Jesus loving us. But here's the deal through this whole series is, if we don't get this, how do we love? Because he calls us to love as I have loved you. You think of those words in Ephesians where he talks about be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you. And then it goes on to talk about live a life of love just as Christ has loved you. So what would loving our world look like to love our world always? Well, in general, if you want the whole cake, this is what it looks like. Love your neighbor. Love each other. Show mercy to the poor. Give to those in need. Forgive as you are forgiven. Be kind and compassionate. Even love your enemy. Now, when we list it, it's a good thing, isn't it? Is that a good list? Like, listen to it again, and I want you to decide whether this is the kind of life you want to live and that our community needs and that we need, okay? So, love your neighbor, love each other, show mercy to the poor, give to those in need, forgive as you're forgiven, be kind and compassionate, even love your enemy. Is that like a desirable life? Is that a community you want to be part of? It is, isn't it? It's like it's so positive, it's so good. So, if that's the cake, what does the peace that you need to eat today look like? Well, if it's like God's love for us, it'll look like this. Love that neighbor right now in this moment of conflict. Love that brother or sister that you are disagreeing with right now. Love that associate at work in this moment that they are offending you. Give to this person in need who's before you, even though your first thought is they need to sort their stuff out. Love and pray blessing on that enemy who is actually your enemy because they're harming you. Like, that's what love looks like, if it's always. Peter must have been trying to figure out what this love and forgiveness thing that Jesus kept talking about would actually look like in his life. And he was finding it pretty tough to stomach, I think. And he says this in Matthew 18, 21. He says, but Lord, he's talking to Jesus. Jesus, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister who sins against me? Like, if you're saying I've got to be real forgiving, like, how many times? Because, you know, it can get pretty annoying. Like, and then he says, up to 7 times? We've got to realize is that Peter's actually going, man, I'm willing to forgive my brother maybe up to 7 times, which is pretty cool, isn't it? Like, you imagine if somebody really offends you and 7 times you forgive them. By number 7, would you be pretty over it? Talking about it's just reoccurring things. Same thing again. You've sorted it all out. Yeah, thus sorry. You've forgiven, reconciled. We're all good. And then again. And then again. What if it's every week for 7 weeks? What if it's once a year for 7 years? What does 7 look like? 7 is a big number. Don't be mistaken for offense. 7 repeated with a brother or sister is a big number. And Peter's going, Jesus, shall I forgive that many times?
What's Jesus' answer? No.
Peter, 70 times 7. That's a dumb number, isn't it? Like some translations think that it just means 77. So even in my mind, 7 is a lot. 77? That's crazy, isn't it? Literally, it's saying 70 times 7, that's how many? 490. Good math over here. 490. Now, is Jesus saying, Peter, you need to get a little journal, maybe an Excel spreadsheet. You need to create a ledger. You start keeping count. He's going to already have, he's already up to 6. That's why he's asking about 7. He's going, no. Even if the ledger goes to 77, let alone 490, is Jesus' point, keep a ledger? What's his point? Stop counting. Why? He's saying, because you need to forgive always. And I know that that's hard, and there's a lot, it's a lot more complicated than that. But when Peter asks the question, Jesus gives the answer. He says, this is what my love looks like. It's always. It's constant. It's again and again and again. We earlier, thanks to Shane, we met Pastor Chi. Do you want to just bring this photo up of Pastor Chi? So this is me and our translator and community worker, Piyut. He works for the organization we partner with in Thailand from CBC. And he goes into the community every few months to see how the community is doing, and how especially the Christian community is doing, but the whole community. And he's like a community worker there. Next to Piyut is Chi, and then Chi's oldest son next to him. So I got to meet Chi and his son 3 years ago in Thailand. So that's this photo here. The photo you saw earlier, the one that's gone out online, that's a photo that was taken this year. So I've now met Chi twice. The first time I went to this village, Kuala Lumpur, where we go regularly as a church, I went there because I love the people of Kuala Lumpur, because we've heard about them, we know their story, we want to go and love them with the love of Christ. I guess I'm like the whole cake kind of guy. It's like, yeah, let's love Kuala Lumpur. Let's pray for them. Let's send money to them. Let's visit and help them. So we do that. This was my first visit to Kuala Lumpur. In the last 3 years, I've been twice because I love Kuala Lumpur. So I've been twice. Fortunate to go a second time. Great to meet Chi the second time. This first time, only got to hear him speak a little bit at the church and then got to spend maybe 10, 15 minutes with him. But this last time in February, got to spend a couple of days while he was around and got to spend some real specific time for a few hours with him, which was really good. Piyut, he loves the people of Kuala Lumpur. He loves the tribal people because he's from the tribes himself. He just does an amazing community work as he loves them. Every few months, he tries to get around each of the villages that our partners work with just to see how they're going because he loves them. Pastor Chi, he gets up normally on a Saturday morning, sometimes a Sunday morning, early in the morning, every single week, and he has a piece of the cake because he loves the people of Kuala Lumpur. He lives in Miramot, about an hour away in the dry. He gets up in the morning, he gets on a scooter, like a little motorbike, and he rides this 1 hour on this crazy, crazy road. And honestly, like the last piece of the road that comes in, I've run down, tried to run down and slogged up several times in my two trips. It's this one hill and it's just about 3 Ks long. And I don't know how a scooter gets up that thing, whether he has to push it or what. Because sometimes it's him and it's his wife and one of the kids on the scooter. But so he gets up early in the morning and he heads off to Kuala Lumpur. And while he's there, he's going to visit 3 other villages as well. And he's going to be there for about 3 days. And he goes every single week. Every week he goes. Because he loves Jesus and he loves the people. Now, Piyut goes every few months. I go every few years. But Pastor Chi goes every week. And we go, wow, that's amazing. Here's what's amazing. I'm sitting with him. I'm saying, what's it like, Pastor Chi? What's it like to be here and how's it going? He says, it's so hard. He said that the church started 10 years ago, two families came to know Jesus, and we've heard their stories, we've met those people several times now, amazing people. And he said, and the church was slowly growing, and last time we were there, they had quite a little church of maybe like six, seven families. And he says, it's been really hard the last few years. He says, every time, it was like what Shane was saying, every time something goes wrong, the church families get the blame. If something's going wrong within a family, the other members of the extended family who don't have a Christian faith come and they blame the people who are following Jesus. And he says, so the church is getting smaller. People are finding it too tough. They still believe in Jesus, but they also want to belong in the village and they don't know what to do. And the pressures are just pulling them both ways. And he says, it's so hard. And then he says, and then the rainy season comes and it takes a lot longer to get here on the scooter. And it's dangerous to travel in the wet. It is dangerous. Like, people get killed on these roads, not because of accidents with other vehicles, but because of sliding off roads, truck deaths, all sorts of deaths on these roads, because they're really dangerous. And so when he comes on the wet season, he comes on his own because it's too risky to take his family. And this is what Pastor Chi said. He said, often I wake in the morning and I don't want to go to Cronulla. He says, I look at the day ahead and he says, it's such a long ride. And he says, the people are not faithful at the moment and the church is getting smaller and people are turning their backs on Jesus and other people are abusing the church. And he says, it's just so hard. And he says, I wake up in the morning and I don't want to get on the scooter and ride to Crawl or Blur. I don't want to do it. I said, what do you do? He says, I get on my scooter and I ride to Crawl or Blur. Every week for 10 years. That's what love looks like. He's like in a Jeremiah space. He goes, but I know this. His love is new every morning. Great is this faithfulness. And we're able to spend time with Pastor Chi talking about God's love for him and just encouraging him in that and in the love he's expressing by being present. And he continues to bring the love of God to the people of Crawler Blur and surrounding villages every week because he has this past kind of love, this hesed love, this love that goes this week, today, in the rain, on my scooter, riding through this dangerous road to get to these people because Jesus loves them and I love them. And you know what? The people need Pastor Chi to be there. But I'll tell you this, Pastor Chi needs to know that Jesus is with him and loving him each day too. Because that's the source. The call to us as a church this week is let's love our world always. But I want to tell you that's only possible because his love for us is new every day, every morning, right now. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're such an amazing example of love. Your patience, your kindness, your humility that we've been learning about these last weeks, that you are patient with us. You just wait so often for us to respond. You're so patient. And we do something stupid again, or we don't listen again, or we neglect something again, and you're just patient with us and forgiving. Thank you for your kindness that you pour out to us. Just the gifts you give us each day and the amazing gift you've given of your life and of salvation and forgiveness and your spirit and your word and this family. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your humility that you have served us and lowered yourself beneath us to lift us up. But today we pause and we say, all of that you do over and over and over again for us because you love us always. And we're thankful for that kind of love today. We need that. And I would ask that you would move us to be a people who love always. Love today, love tomorrow, love into the future, but love in this moment too. And I don't know who will be before us even this day, but help us as we interact with people today that in each moment we would respond with a love that comes from you. That in that moment we'll be patient, we'll be kind, we'll be humble, And it will just be like the constant beat of our heart. That this would be the heartbeat of this family right here. I thank you that it's your heartbeat for us. We're just really grateful for that. We thank you so much, Father, for your love for us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us and you are always with us. Thank you for all the constants you bring into our life, Father, Son, and Spirit. We're so grateful. So thankful that whether we find ourselves in the dark space or in a bright light, that you are with us. And we just give you thanks. Amen.